Welcome back, everyone. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri. We are powered by PPV.com. PPV.com is the worldwide leader in live boxing, pro wrestling, pay-per-view events. You can stream it to your phone, your tablet, your smart TV. You can stream it everywhere. And when you do stream a big fight on PPV.com, you get me and Chris Algieri in the live chat and some other notable names. You get a very clear stream, a strong stream. The best part, no commitments. We're not going to ask you to sign up for a year. Go fight by fight. I know a lot. We're getting close to summer months, and you don't want to be committed to anything. You want to be free. No commitments. I'm not scared of commitment. Neither is my partner, Chris Algieri. But no, there are no commitments. There are no commitments with PPV.com. Free. Not free. You have to pay. But free in terms of you're not held down.
You're getting really good at these ad reads. You're the man.
Two a week, you know. You got to get a little. Creative with it.
Talking about commitment, we're committed. Twice a week, we are here with you guys. Everybody tunes in. Our listeners are the best. The guys reach out all the time. We have diehard listeners that reach out all the time because we are committed. You guys are committed, so it's all good. But
commit no to the bit.
PPV. Commit to the bit.
I'm committed to my New York Knicks. For those of you that are listening, I'm wearing a New York Knicks hat. It's got a cool rope on it. Knicks are playing the Pistons in the first round of the playoffs. I always say it, New York City is a basketball town. New York City is a Knicks town. The Nets don't really exist. They tried to exist for a little bit. When Jay-Z came in, it was like, hey, we're a thing. And then, no, the Knicks, baby. I know I'm going to get a lot of heat in the comment section because the Knicks are a laughing stock. They've always happened. But they're the third seed in the East. And I just want to see them win a title. And I just want to see what New York would look like if the Knicks won a title. Like, would it burn down? I think it would.
No, we're not Philly. We're not Philly.
Grease the poles?
I think it would be, there would be celebrations for sure, but it wouldn't get too out of hand.
Days. It would last for days.
Listen, we got the NYPD, man. We'll keep everybody in check.
They'll be partying along with us because it's a New York town.
That too.
You know what I mean?
Firemen and police will be celebrating together for once.
There you go.
Instead of punching each other at the garden.
That's the next event we have to go to. The NYPD versus FDNY.
I went a few years ago. It's a great event.
Your brother got any insights into that? Did he ever get into the ring?
No. They wanted him to fight for a while, but he's like,
he's a big dude, bro.
Properly, and he doesn't want to get. Yeah, he's like, I don't have proper time to properly train. So I get it. He's got a lot of injuries too, though. You would think he was the fighter with all the injuries he got. Being NYPD is not an easy gig.
He doesn't skip arm day, your brother.
No, arm and chest. I don't think he ever skipped it.
I think that's all he does at the gym. He's just very, he's a big dude.
He doesn't do a whole lot anymore. I mean, he pretty much just boxes now. I don't think he's big on the lifting anymore.
I am. I'm going to hit the gym after this and I'm going to get it, my 10,000 like steps. Thank you, bro. Let's get into it. It's a busy time in boxing. Things are starting to ramp up. We're getting closer and closer to that May 2nd card. That May 2nd weekend is going to be pretty big. A fight was announced or reported by The Ring magazine. It's Alexander Usyk and Daniel Dubois, July 12th, Wembley Stadium. This is a rematch to their first fight in August of 2023. That saw Usyk stop Dubois in 9. This time it will be at Wembley. I like that aspect about it. Usyk is an absolute dog at 38 years old, highest paid boxer in the game, still taking on tough challenges. Dubois is a stiff challenge. This is for undisputed gold, which is kind of an asterisk because Usyk was stripped. And will he be a two-time undisputed champion if he wins this fight? Dubois could become an undisputed champion at age 27. I don't know. I like it. I mean, did I want a fresh matchup for Usyk? Probably Parker, maybe, if you just insert him. But I'm not mad at a fight in Usyk and Dubois that was heavily reported, but now it looks like we have a date and a location at Wembley, July 12th.
Yeah, I'm not mad, but I'm sad. I feel bad for Joseph Parker because he's not getting the fight. I think he deserves it more, but there's a way better narrative for the Dubois-Usyk rematch. And then listen, I can't get it out of my head. When Dubois came into the ring after Usyk beat Fury, as awkward as he was, Usyk responded and said, "Hey, Your Excellency," he looked around and he grabbed and he said to Turkey, he's like, "Dubois next." I mean, he's a man of his word. So if he says something out loud like that, listen, he's going to do it. Being that Eastern European, the way that he is, very, very proud. If he said it out loud, then you know, that's probably what was going to happen. And obviously, here we are.
Dubois Parker situation is smelly. It stinks to the high heavens. I haven't heard from Parker. I don't know what's in store for him. Guys always pushed to the side, always forgotten about. He's set to fight Dubois in Saudi in their last big event, February 22nd. Next thing you know, Dubois has a mystery illness. I'm not saying it wasn't an illness, because apparently Floyd Schofield got sick there too. And I've heard for some fighters that these fighters get sick over there. I don't know if it's the food. I don't know if it's the travel. I don't know what the heck's going on over there, but it's not the first time I've heard of fighters getting sick. But that being said, Dubois steps out. Parker fights Bacoli, knocks him out. We know the case there. So you would think, all right, so we're going to get a Dubois-Parker fight on, you know, this summer. Not the case. It makes you think, because boxing, this happens. Like, you can pull out of a fight for whatever reason. And the fact that the Dubois team didn't go straight to Parker and went right to a bigger money fight in Usyk, I'm not saying it's a duck, because he's still fighting Usyk, which is a crazy bout, but it's a shiesty business move.
It's a step around. It's the old okey-doke, because he had to go through Parker to get to Usyk, to get to that fight, which would have made sense. But Parker's no easy out. That would have been a very tough fight. I would have loved to have seen what the line was as that fight went off. It did seem like a little bit of a, you know, step aside and then wrap around. Normally, the guys step aside, you don't get the opportunity. Normally, you know, I have people saying, well, oh, he got sick. He pulled out because he was sick. He wasn't ducking him. It's like, it doesn't matter. He got sick. He pulled out of the fight. Parker showed up and fought and won. Parker should get the opportunity. He deserves it. But obviously, it looks like there was things already in play, and deals were probably cut. Most of the deals happen under the table, behind closed doors in boxing. Generally, that's what seems like what's going on in this case. Again, unfortunate for Joseph Parker, but that's neither here nor there. We got Dubois and Usyk, and I mean, it's a good fight.
It's a great fight. It's got storylines. I hate the storyline. Probably my biggest.
What do you hate about it? What do you hate the storyline?
I hate the fact that people thought that was a low blow. I mean, that's the problem. I get confused. I hate the fact that people think that was a legit shot that Dubois landed on Usyk.
I'm glad I asked, because I didn't know what you meant. But
and I don't want to open up this can of worms, because it leads to endless debates. I get pulled into these long 3-day Twitter interactions with these people out there that are just dead set that Dubois won that fight. It was a legal it was a low blow.
It's at the ref's discretion. I mean, we should really put that one in the rear view. I think the real narrative, the good narrative, is the fact that since that fight, Dubois has made a total turnaround, 180 degree. He goes from a
glow up, baby.
Yeah, he goes from being like labeled a quitter to being the underdog on top over and over again. So, you know, the Ergovic win, the Joshua win was huge. That should be the narrative. The fact that Dubois was, you know, he was in that fight. He was boxing well. Usyk looked a little bit off. The ring was wet, you know, that night. And for a mover like Usyk, that could be a big, big issue. So if you really look beyond it, you know, you got to look at these minor details, or not minor. In that case, it would be very major. But in terms of where Dubois has gone since then, I think that's how we look at this. And listen, Usyk's gotten older. You don't get younger. Dubois has gotten more mature. Dubois has gotten better. Dubois has come into his own in terms of his psychology and everything. I think his mind has now caught up to his physicality, because everyone was so excited about him because he was this big, massive puncher and he's super durable. But you know, the mind would go sometimes. He'd lose focus. He would try to get out of fights. And it looks like that guy's dead and gone. So now we have a whole different Daniel Dubois. That should be the narrative. Not that, oh, well, you know, if that was a legal blow, so we should have got the knockout. I can't discuss that either.
No, they'll use that in the lead up. The promotion will use it.
Yeah.
Right. We'll get Usyk's thoughts on it. We'll get Dubois' thoughts on Dubois. We'll do some awkward. I won that fight. You know it too. In their little face off, it's going to be hilarious. But you're right, Dubois. That's in my notes. Dubois has had a glow up. I mean, this is the guy that was dumped and left for nothing after the Joyce fight, where he was just on the canvas with his eyes shut, and I was like, all right, close the book on this guy. But then he gets in the gym, he starts working out, gets a better haircut. You know, all of a sudden he's looking good, he's feeling good. He takes some time to heal, which you should do after you go through a breakup, and then he looks in the mirror and goes, I am that guy. and he goes on a three-fight run where he defeats guys that were just straight up bullying him, trying to bring him back down. You know what I mean? Like Jarrell Miller, bullied with the physical, mental. Oh, I forgot about the
Miller fight. That was a good win, too.
The mental warfare. That was when I was like, all right, I think Miller has a chance in this fight, because I was still skeptical of Dubois.
I picked Miller to win that fight. I 100% picked him to win that fight.
A lot of people did. You know why? Because they were looking at Dubois mentally weak, as you were just saying. Mentally weak. Miller is not mentally weak. He's the one thing he's got is a lot of weight, and he can talk, and that
confidence for days.
Right, and he disposes of Miller, Dubois. Then he has Hrgović, who was just throwing some nasty, nasty darts at Dubois, calling him a lost child
barbs
at the mall.
And darts.
Just mental warfare, trying to get under his skin. Dubois just not only beats Hrgović, but just outclasses him. And then the Joshua fight, which was his grand coming out party, ices him in Wembley. And then now it's like he's the guy now. So that's a glow up. That's a three-fight run. You're right. That's what we should be talking about. That's what we are talking about. It's he did that pretty quickly, too. He did that very, very quickly to get back to this where he's at right now in fighting Usyk. So, you know, hats off to Daniel Dubois. I don't know if he can beat Usyk in this fight. I know I'm reading a lot of opinions out there that, you know, repeat or revenge. And I'll ask you, Chris, repeat or revenge, Usyk versus Dubois.
Well, real quick, you said how quickly he did it. And yeah, I mean, has been less than 2 years since Daniel Dubois and Usyk first fought. And since then, Dubois has been on a tear with those three big wins that you mentioned. And heavyweights, that's hard to move that fast. So very impressive glow up, as you like, using one of your terms. But can he win? Absolutely. I mean, father time comes overnight, dude. You wake up one day and you're old. Is Usyk going to be that guy? You know, I was talking to my man, Paulie Malignaggi, about this. And, you know, I think Usyk probably will retire undefeated. Because I think he'll be in camp and be like, man, maybe this isn't, I don't really have it anymore, or I can't get to the camp, or an injury or whatnot. And Paul is like, nah, I think he's going to keep on fighting and just, you know, keep going until what happens to all of us is, you know, we lose. So I don't know which Usyk that's going to be. If he's going to be the guy who fights on and then happens to just get old overnight and get beat by one of these young guys. Is Daniel Dubois that guy? He certainly could be. I'm not putting money on Dubois, but he is a very live dog.
Going to be live. Going to be very live. I can't wait to see the line for this one. Let's go over to Usyk. I mean, we've praised this guy enough, and everyone has, and rightfully so. We're looking at fighter of the decade type of run. Last six fights, Chisora, Joshua twice, Dubois, Fury twice, Dubois. So Joshua, Fury, Dubois, six times. That's sick. You're a crazy person to do that.
If he beats Dubois again and he has double victories over Dubois, Joshua, and Usyk, I mean, what the hell else is there left to do?
You know what it is? That's hilarious to think about, because you could poke holes in everyone's resume. You could poke holes in Mayweather, 50, you know, the best ever, TBE, self-proclaimed best ever. But you can go through every fight and be like, yeah, Cotto was at the end of his rope. He lost to Castillo.
Canelo was too young and Canelo was too young.
Right, he hit blah blah blah. You can go through them all, but with Usyk, he's beating the guys and he's going back around, circling back, beating them again. So if you ever
beating them better,
and then saying to like, hey guys, when you do your podcast and you have your little conversations, and 5-10 years from now, I'm just leaving no doubt. And he has the chance to do that with Dubois, beating him again, and there is some doubt. There isn't a lot. There are some people out there that believe that Dubois landed a body shot on Usyk, and Usyk really lost that first fight. I mean, there are some, the conspiracy theorists, the Usyk haters, which is a very small group. I don't know. There is that going for Usyk in this fight where, hey, you guys didn't think I beat Dubois cleanly in the first fight, even though I was dominating every single round, even though I got up off the canvas after that low blow and proceeded to outland him and knock him down with a jab and fight over.
Break his will, yeah.
People forget about that. They don't bring up that part of the story with Usyk in that Dubois fight. But what a run. We're getting into fighter of the decade, which we're halfway through the decade. I mean, it's not something I think about every day, but I think it was Breadman Edwards put it out there, like fighter of the decade. And I was like, yeah, man, we got to start thinking about that. And it's Usyk by a freaking... He's way ahead of the pack right now.
So what decade are we talking? Are we just 2020 last 10 years or 2020? I mean, we still got a lot left to go, man. It's only 2025.
I'm saying we're halfway through, and this guy's got wins over Joshua Dubois, Fury twice.
But there's a lot of ground to get. I mean, there's a lot of ground still to occur. You know, like, yeah. Well, he's in the running right now. 5 years is a long time, man. A lot can happen in 5 years.
Yeah, but who's putting on a better? Who has the capability to put on a better 5-year run from here on out, or who's even in second place right now?
In a way, still got a lot of fight left. Like Crawford would be in discussion, but he doesn't have a lot of career left. If he goes out there and he beats Canelo, boom, he's in there. But Inoue's probably going to fight for 5 more years. So his resume is phenomenal. But it'd be cool to make a
graphic, like you start off at 2020 and you have like it's like the running of the races, like it's like a horse race. Start off at 2020 on the left side, and you have all the heads: Canelo, Inoue, Dubois. Canelo was at the top. I mean, we're 2020, 2021, 2022, before the loss to Bivol, Canelo was unifying. He was still knocking guys out. He was going up to 170, not 175 was, no, he, yeah, it was 2018. He was going on that 168 run. So I think Canelo came out of the gates in 2020, at the beginning of this decade, at the top. Inoue, right below him. Usyk, not even a blip on the radar yet. Getting there. He goes to heavyweight, starts doing his thing. And then once he beats those big names, and once Canelo loses to Bivol and kind of goes on the run that he's been on as of late, and then Inoue, it's Inoue and Usyk just going head to head down the wire, Kentucky Derby, and then it's going to be right now. It's Usyk 5 years in because of that run that he's on right now.
Dan, can we get our guy on that graphic? I want to see that.
It's a lot of work. I'll think about
it. It's a lot of work. That's cool.
It is very cool because it's something I haven't thought about. And shout out to, once again, Bradman Edwards. The guy is a thing. His tweets are awesome. He's just a really bright boxing mind.
He's excellent. I've done interviews with him.
I've had him on this show numerous times. He's a good trainer, and he's a damn good like boxing analyst. And his takes are really good. He just has takes, and he's not afraid to stand with them. But I was thinking about Fighter of the Decade, and I would say it's probably Usyk. In a way, Canelo. I mean, there's still a lot of work to be done for a lot of these guys. No one's really dominant. I'm trying to go through the weights right now, like 30. There's no one 35. There's these guys aren't fighting each other enough. 40. Teofimo maybe was at the beginning of that list because he beat Lomachenko in 2020. Haney's got to be in that discussion for what he did at 135, but he kind of fell off. I'm just talking about guys that are at
precipitous drop off.
Guys that are at the opening gate of 2020, like they're in the discussion that are in the race. Heavyweights. Fury's got to be in there.
Yeah, Fury had a really good run, starting really right at 2020, I believe.
It was the last big fight of 2020 before the pandemic was Fury Wilder too.
I think he came back with the Schwartz fight, and that's when he got that slipping on the ropes, and then he just was juking and jiving and tearing people up for a couple. Yeah, so 2020 he was like right at the start. And you mentioned Teofimo, that fight against Lomachenko happened in the bubble in pandemic. So.
Yeah, but then he follows it up with the loss to Kambosos.
Ooh, that's a gut punch.
There's the graph. That's the graph of him. Like, this is what I would do if I had the graph. His head would be spinning down. He'd be spiraling down towards the bottom.
I feel like I just got hit with a liver shot. I got hit with a liver shot as soon as you said that.
Gut
punch.
But as Teofimo went down, rising up is Haney to become undisputed at 135, 140. It's a fun... It's a fun little exercise, but I think it's Usyk. Long story short, Usyk's the guy. And shout out to him because he's the highest paid fighter last year because of Saudi Arabia and because of two fights with Fury. And it's like over 100 million, maybe over 120 million. And, 38 years old, has already accomplished everything, is a bona fide, surefire Hall of Famer the day he retires. So he could just fight anyone. He could fight Pereira, like he was talking about in MMA. He can dabble into that. He could go on a run. He could go fight near his hometown, like he did with the first Dubois fight. He could go fight in Poland and take that route. But no, he's fighting Dubois. Yes, it is a rematch. It's a retread, to use a lack of a better term. But it's an unbelievable challenge at age 38 when he technically doesn't have to do that.
Very dangerous fight. To go back, you already beat the guy, but the guy's gotten better since you beat him. You have gotten older. So, yeah, no, he's walking a tightrope. But that's how Usyk likes to fight, man. That's the way he is. That's the way he lives. He likes to take on dangerous challenges. It always seems like he's always on the brink of possibly getting beat or losing, and then he figures out a way and gets to it. So it makes makes perfect sense that he would choose this route, you know, to go and to fight a very, very dangerous Daniel Dubois, who, you know, poses some new challenges, even though he's a former opponent.
I like this fight. I like that's at Wembley.
Me too.
I like it's going to be loud. It's going to be big. It's like we were talking about past episodes, like, all right, what's going on with the heavyweight division? We haven't had a big fight since February. We got a little spoiled because, you know, they were getting these big fights one after the next. Saudi, I think that's the biggest thing from to come out of the Saudi push has been the revival of the heavyweights. And it's like, all right, what are we doing this summer? Well, this summer we're getting Usyk Dubois. It will be a spectacle. That's great. What about the rest of the division? We just talked about Parker. Where does he fit? Does he get the winner now? Because Usyk says he has like two or three fights left. I'm sure he was looking at Parker. I'm sure his team was like, all right, you got fight. Option A is the rematch with Dubois at Wembley. Dubois is the other champions, undisputed, blah, 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 all the selling points. Option B is Parker. The more money is Usyk, but I would not be shocked if Usyk goes there. Was Parker. I would not be shocked if Usyk, after this, goes to Parker unless something else emerges.
That's probably what's going to happen again, like you said, unless something else emerges. I would like to see that. Either way, I think, you know, whoever wins this fight, I think Parker should be the next in line. But I'm just not holding my breath. I keep my fingers crossed, but I'm not holding my breath for that one because Parker just seems like the kind of guy, he just gets a raw deal. And for whatever reason, the boxing gods don't want to give him another shot. He's always the bridesmaid, never the bride, it seems. Mm. Even though he's been world champion, I think people forget that. You know, he was champion a while ago. He did fight Anthony Joshua. But either way, I think the winner should give Parker his shot. But you know what's probably going to happen, Dan? He's going to fight some other stud somewhere along the line, and he's probably going to catch a loss. And then we're
going to... Usyk?
Parker. They're going to throw him in with, like, Moses Atuma or, like, you know, one of these guys, and he's going to... You know, you can't just keep knocking off young studs all the time on your way to the top. It's really, really difficult. It just seems like they're throwing, you know, hurdle after hurdle at him. And eventually, you know, that's when guys stumble. And if he stumbles, he's really out. Because if you can't get the fight now when you're on winning streaks and beating people and being the underdog and coming out on top over and over and over again, you're definitely not going to get it, you know, coming off of a loss to a younger guy. So, I don't know. I feel bad for Parker. Like I said, I'm sad for his situation that he's kind of being the outside looking in once again.
Yes. Not. I don't want to look too far ahead for Usyk. I'm not ready to do just that. But, you know, mapping out the rest of his career, 2 to 3 more fights, he got you thinking about, like, who's next up at heavyweight. And it's a burning question in the boxing world. Obviously, Usyk is on top right now. Dubois, you would think, is the heir apparent. If Dubois beats Usyk, and then that just cements it. You know, this is the guy. Yeah. He's the leader now. He's 27 years old. These other guys will still be gunning for him. Maybe Joshua all of a sudden wants another shot at Dubois, maybe Fury. Just like, hey, I'll fight. It sets up some more fresher matchups, and it kind of delays that question in the back of everyone's mind of like, all right, these heavyweights are getting older, and, you know, we're running out of matchups here. So, like, who is exactly next? Like, I don't see a handing – like, if this was WWE, like Moses Atuma, Fabio Wardley, those two, probably Atuma would get the Usyk fight, and he would – beat Usyk. Usyk would raise his hand at the end and say, this is the new guy. But boxing isn't WWE. But it's got me thinking about those guys. Atuma, Fabio Wardley, who was fighting Jarrell Miller.
Beast, huh? Jeez.
Who?
Wardley.
Beast. What he did to Frazier Clark. He dented his skull. Insane. Frazier Clark is fight this weekend. Fabio Wardley's fighting Jarrell Miller June 7th. I like that fight for him. It's Atuma and Wardley, I believe, as the top two next. And then there's Daner Pero, who has just signed a ring ambassadorship with the ring, who's really good, called a lot of his fights with most valuable prospects. Azit Caballel is 32, but he's like knocking on the door.
He's streaking a little bit right now. He's got good momentum.
And then Jalilov, who fought last week, who's, I don't know what that guy's deal is. He's old.
He's super talented. He's got the amateur background. He's a giant.
But like, what is he doing?
He was gonna. He looked like he was gonna be a real problem. But yeah, he gets no momentum. There's just no wind in his sails, unfortunately, because he is super talented. How did he look last week? I didn't. He
went the distance. He should have got the guy out of there. He was like kind of playing with his food. He's going from pros to the amateurs, pros to the amateurs, fighting in amateur tournaments, trying to be a pro, not fighting in the U.S. Not I don't know, man. Like I once was like, all right, this guy's next because he's just lethal with that left hand, and I don't know. He stalled out, and I think some of these other guys have jumped ahead of him. It's Moses Atuma is next, and I don't see Usyk getting that fight, but I want to see Atuma getting that fight. But it got me thinking about, like, all right, we're getting these, like, rematches. Like, Usyk is fighting these guys twice. A lot of times it's rematch clauses, or a lot of times it's we don't really have anyone else. We need some fresh blood, man. Like, I'm not thinking too far ahead, but, like, come on. Like, Caballero, get in there. Parker, Atuma, Wardley, Pero. Like, we need this heavyweight division. Very important for boxing.
I mean, it's very global, the names you're mentioning. It's like, and again, America, we're left longing. We got no. When's the next great American heavyweight?
It's in the hands of Richard Torres.
Ugh. Oh,
it's
no.
In the hands of whatever our guy Big Baby's doing right now. The other Big Baby. Why did I forget his name? Jared Anderson.
Jared, yeah.
That's grim. Is there anyone coming up the ranks?
America's looking. We're looking barren in heavyweights.
They're all playing other sports. Even though they should be looking at the money being thrown around. Alexander Usyk, $138 million last year. I mean, in the NBA,
when you look at the highest paid athletes across, you know, the past couple of decades, the boxers are always at the top. You know, but it's particular guys.
It's,
you know,
Pacquiao, 0.1% Floyd, though.
De La Hoya, Pacquiao, Floyd, Canelo, you know, Usyk.
But yes, you get in
the 0.001%.
But you get into say basketball. Say you're a big guy, and you're choosing what sport to play as a teen, or even younger, and you're going to play football. You're going to play basketball. $138 million. That's 2 years in the NBA.
Yeah. Boxing earnings is a bell curve. You know, you got most people. You know, you got certain people that make like nothing. You got some people that make everything, and then you know it's kind of like a thing in the middle. But the guys who, you know, who are making the big bucks, there's very few of them. But yeah, it's unfortunate. So like, you have a better chance in those other sports, like you said. It's like, do I want to be a 100 millionaire, or do I want to be like a 10?
Well, I want to go through the rigors of boxing. It's like there's
that's another thing.
It's just like there's no organization. It's just like you're out on your own. You're a lone wolf. You have not going to high school.
Create your own path. You got a machete and you're dealing with the rainforest and you got to figure it out.
Yeah, you got to go through amateur tournaments. You got to give up your whole life. I remember talking to Teofimo, him saying like, you know, I didn't even like go to high school. Like I didn't have a normal childhood in terms of me going to like proms or like high school parties because I was at tournaments. I was fighting other crazy amateurs. I was going to all over the place. So whereas basketball, you're in AAU, you're on a team, it's organized. I don't know if AAU is still the thing.
Those are team sports. Boxing, I knew you travel with certain guys, but you very much, it's very lonely in that ring. So that's part of it.
Lonely is sport.
That's what they say.
Go follow them on Instagram. Great Instagram account.
Oh, good. Yeah, really good Instagram account.
The loneliest. We really capture the essence of boxers. Speaking of money and speaking of all that, speaking of the business, Chris, TKO Group formally asks for amendments to the Ali Act. There were rumors that this was going to happen. We're reading the tea leaves. This is according to a memo to state regulators. Now, the details were just as vague as the terminology that was used by the UFC spokesperson in this story when asked about it. The UFC spokesperson said they're looking to enhance the Ali Act to offer boxers, quote unquote, more opportunities, which doesn't get any more vague than that. For those of you that don't know, the Ali Act was enacted in 2000. It was originally the Professional Boxing Safety Act, and they expanded on it with the Ali Act. Basically, it's legislation against exploitation,
conflict of interest and enforcement. In short, the Ali Act intended to prevent promoters from using predatory and anti-competitive practices against athletes while encouraging a free and open market. Needs to be noted that the UFC just settled a massive lawsuit, a class action lawsuit, antitrust lawsuit with their fighters, $375 million, because they were found liable of the things, guilty of the things that I just said right there. Some of those tactics. And Dana White and his team are now looking to get into boxing and looking to, I wouldn't say do the same, but they're looking to make some amendments, Chris. It's here. And it's not being talked about a lot by boxing media, but it's here. And we're going to talk about it.
So that was the thing holding them back from, you know, from these UFC guys coming into our sport. You know, the Ali Act is a big deterrent. And so, listen, they tried it over there. They got in trouble for it. They had to pay out. And now they're coming to boxing, but this Ali Act is standing in the way, so they're trying to get rid of it. It's pretty obvious what's going on here. If anything, the Ali Act should be expanded and grown upon and added teeth to it. And we're actually going the opposite way, which is terrible for fighters and people who are you know, hiring their horse about, you know, this organization, and we're going to get a league, we're going to get all these fights. Yeah, but guys, you got to look. Beyond the smash and grab. Yeah, it looks really good up front, but we got to protect the fighters. We got to protect, you know, the exploitation that these promoters and managers can instill upon us and inflict to us. You know, we're not horses. We're human beings, and we're athletes, and we're businesses as well. So having that much control over every aspect of the sport is a very, very dangerous thing.
It's the beginning stages of what they want to do. They're saying this is just a small amendment. You know, that we're not looking to change everything. They have a lot of connections in the current administration with President Trump, who is very close with Dana White. Linda McMahon is on some type of board or is part of the U.S. government, who is also a TKO shareholder. Do the math right there to see on how they can get this going and get this going quicker. But basically what TKO wants to do is they want to be the promoter and the sanctioning body right away. They want to have their own belts. And the problem that lies there is if you're the promoter and you're the sanctioning body and you're making the rankings and the rankings dictate to pay, that's when there's too much power. That's when there's a conflict of interest.
You're handpicking who's making money. You're handpicking who's getting the shot. You're handpicking, I mean...
Well, that's where you come into the offering boxers more opportunities. Like that vague sentence right there, that vague quote was, we're giving
guys,
you guys...
the guys that you like, the guys that the power that be like.
Yeah, but you're a fighter. You're signing into this.
It's so heavy-handed. Well, you have no choice. You know, what kind of choice do you have, you know, if you're a fighter? That's what coercion is, man. These people have a power over you that you can't... exploitation is literally based in this. The whole point of the Ali Act is to make sure that you don't exploit the fighters and treat them like racehorses or treat them like, you know, well, WWE is not real, but like you pick and choose, and it's based on popularity and who you like. This is a sport. This is a competitive. This is about meritocracy. The guys who Usyk didn't get there because people liked him. Usyk got there because he beat all the best guys around. So I'm very fearful of what the future can look like if this turns into essentially the WWE and the favorites are handpicked because of whatever reason there may be.
So yeah, I agree. There should be pushback and there should be some worry here, but I'll play devil's advocate for a second. So like TKO wants to be the promoter. They want to be the sanctioning body. So essentially they want to be Top Rank and the WBO. Top Rank and the WBO work hand in hand right now. I mean, they skirt around the Ali Act. It's just not as brazen as what TKO wants to do. But a lot of these things are already happening in boxing. That's a big reason why the Ali Act is there. But you talk to Lou DiBella, who was a big part of writing the Ali Act. He says it's got a lot of holes and it's not the strongest piece of legislation. So because boxing's been able to skirt around it, like Al Haymon is a manager and a promoter. I mean, he's a manager and he's in Premier Boxing Champions is not a promoter. Well,
Is he an advisor? Is he not a manager? That was
advisor, but like PBC is not a promotion. PBC is a management company, and that's why they have Tom Brown TGB Promotions. That's why they used Lou DiBella in the past. But just to play devil's advocate here, it's like this has been going on in boxing for a while now. It's just not as bold as the TKO wants to do. Like certain promoters are in bed with certain sanctioning bodies to help their fighters get title shots. I mean, look at Top Rank. They have so many WBO champions. Mm-hmm. So like this has been going on. Still not right, but you know, TKO wants to go in there and be like, all right, we want our own belts. The problem is that it? Is this the beginning? Is this the beginning? Is this all they want? Probably not. They wanted to probably
power
smash
corrupts
it.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely. That it will not stop there, and that's the thing. Yes, okay. Is there a lot of shadiness in boxing? There always has been. And Ali Yak, as you said, has a lot of holes in it, doesn't have any teeth. And that's why I said it at the beginning of this. I'm like, it shouldn't be lessened. It should be expanded. It needs teeth. Those holes need to fill in. This thing needs to be a massive piece of legislation, not a two pager like it is now. It needs to be something for real. But in terms of, you know, what hurts me about this, I would never have gotten my shot. I'm a WBO champion. You said Top Rank. Ruslan was a Top Rank guy. I had to beat a guy to get that opportunity. If it was a handpicked thing, I was completely unknown. I had to literally be the underdog on top and win over and over and over again to get to that situation. I wasn't a Top Rank guy. I was fighting a Top Rank guy, and I was the opponent brought in. The only reason I got that position because I beat the guy that was supposed to be in that position. So, and that was Emmanuel Taylor prior to that. I wasn't ranked before that. Emmanuel Taylor was like number 3 in the WBO. I wasn't ranked at all. I beat him and I got put into the rankings and put into that position. And I wasn't supposed to be Ruslan and I did. So the whole point of this sport is, you know, we all love the rags to riches. We all love the underdog who gets, you know, it's Rocky, dude. Rocky's not going to be involved in this sport if you can hand pick who's going to get there.
They're going to make it look like Rocky.
But then it's WWE. That's my whole point.
Oh, yeah. They own it. That's what they want.
Obviously, but that's the thing. You said it's brazen. They're doing it right in your face. That's the issue. Yeah, man. I don't know. It's like, at least take me on a date first. Pretend it's not. pretend it's not what it is.
I know, but
there's
fan
also competition.
Care.
I know. Does the average fan care? I don't know. I don't know what the average fan really looks like. I know diehards. I know us.
Average fan wants to see the best fight the best. Average fan wants the UFC model. It's the number one question I always ask whenever I'm put into this debate on UFC versus boxing model. It's, do you want to be entertained every Saturday night, or do you want to be somewhat entertained one Saturday night of the month? And but you know that these guys are getting high, getting paid, and you know they're being taken care of. I think a lot of fans fall into the former.
You're taking out the heart and soul of what boxing is, and that's what
I get it
is. Boxing is an entirely different animal than any other sport out there, and
it's American, bro.
Dude, it's way different than the UFC. I know everyone loves UFC. I watched the UFC fights the other night after our Pro Box show. I went and watched Michael Chandler, and then, you know, the main
tough
event
one.
Volkanovski was awesome. I watched it. It's entertaining. It does not have the heart and soul that boxing does. It does not have the history that boxing does. It does not have the stories that boxing does. I don't care what kind of highly produced video montage they put together about a champion rising through the ranks in the UFC. It doesn't touch boxing at all. And nowhere near. It can't wear the jock strap of boxing. Let's put it that way. And that's what this is what's in danger now. The heart and soul of the sport is going to be taken, and that's a big issue.
That's what people are fearing. And you're right. I look at boxing as like it's American. It's free business. It's free reign. It's open market.
It's the Wild Wild West, man.
It's open market.
You can make it, dude.
Like purse bids. I mean, they're kind of messed up, but it's like anyone can hop in there and do it. Like boxing has its warts, don't get me wrong, but you know, it's we're going back to that discussion of like, are you sure you want this to happen in terms of what TKO is looking to do? Another wrinkle of this,
slope.
Yeah, for sure. Another aspect of this is that the ABC is working with TKO, according to this memo, to amend, which is kind of wild because the ABC is put in place to kind of be the watchdog of all the organizations. Like they're the ones that told WBA, you better, you know, cut all these titles that you have. They got involved after that Maestre Michael Fox corruption.
Debacle.
And then they told the WBA, get rid of all these ridiculous titles or you're going to face fines or we're going to shut you guys down. They have the power to do that. But now it looks as if ABC, according to this memo, is working with TKO. So what's going on there? It's like, okay, like that's going to help expedite this. And is ABC looking around and being like, all right, eventually they're going to be the last one standing. So let's work with them now. And I don't know, is this a good or a bad thing? Is ABC going to... Is ABC going to like, hey, you can't do that. Hey, let's do this. Let's make sure these rights are protected. Or is ABC just going to be like, whatever you say, you guys have a lot of money and we want to stay in business.
Yeah, well, it's control. You control the politics. You mentioned the political affiliations that the TKO group has with America. And then you talk about this now. This is another regulation that they can, regulatory agency that they can get control of. You know, this is art of war, dude. Control all the variables and you're guaranteeing victory. So listen, is this going to happen? 100%. Obviously, look at the way this is all moving. It's slow moving right now, but you know, once you get all of your barriers and enemies out of place, I mean, you're walking through the front door at that point.
Yep. So at first, what they're looking to do right now is to create their own belts. And when you create your own belts, that means you have to be the sanctioning body and the promoter. And that's a clear violation of the Ali Act. And that's the first thing they're looking to amend. Will it be the last? That remains to be seen. Kind of the same ilk. Ring Magazine, as you know, was purchased by Turki Alışık. They're now the media arm. They are now an ambassador role. They are now a lot of things. They're putting on cards. The May 2nd card is technically a Ring Magazine card. I'm still not exactly sure what that means. But what they have done now is it looks like they have signed Keyshawn Davis, Bruce Carrington, Abdullah Mason, and Denir Perro to ambassador roles. Ring Magazine ambassadors. Keyshawn Davis, Carrington, Abdullah Mason, Denir Perro. Pictures you see with Turki Alışık, they're signing stuff. There's the Ring Magazine signage behind them. We've seen this though, Chris. In a way, he signed a Riyadh season ambassador before the Ring Magazine purchase went through. And that started off as, oh, he's going to wear a t-shirt every once in a while. He's going to have the patch on his pants, Riyadh season. But now we're looking at, in a way, fighting in Saudi Arabia at the end of the year. From what I've gathered from people in the boxing world, is that this is starting off as a sponsorship. It's starting off as an ambassador role. But, you know, these people didn't tell me this, but so did Inouye's. So I could see Davis, Carrington, Mason, Perro all fighting in Saudi one day. But it's just like, I'm a little confused.
Well, once again, it's a conflict of interest. You know, so the Ring Magazine, which is essentially, they're ranking people, right? So now if you have an ambassador and you're an ambassador for the ranking system, isn't that a conflict, Dan?
Well, you think the fighters are the ranking people?
No, but the Ring Magazine, the ring has their own, the Ring Magazine
belt, yeah,
ranking.
But they were doing that forever, though.
Okay, I know that, but like now, like so, it used to be a media arm, the Ring Magazine, and they had their own non-official. Is it though? Because it's promoting fights and has fighter ambassadors. So is it truly still a media arm? That's the question. That's my whole.
Like, what's their bread and butter now? Are they a magazine? Right. Are they a website? Are they a promoter?
Seems like it's all of the above, you know, it's a lot of mixed signals, but that's what we're getting used to. Everything is so convoluted, from the way things have come together and overlapped, and everything's vague. It's a lot of gray.
It's hard to.
What exactly is going on?
I know. I saw it, and I think I have a pretty good grasp on this sport, the business. And then I see a Ring Magazine ambassador and I'm puzzled. I'm like, what does this mean? Does it mean, if it means more money for these guys, awesome. Like, if it means more publicity for them, exposure, Abdullah Mason is considered a prospect, fringe contender. He's not going to be fighting Jeremiah Nakatila June 7th. I love that fight. Good for him. Carrington, what does it mean for Carrington? Does this mean that he fights Nick Ball in Saudi Arabia? Does that expedite that process? From what I've heard is that they're still signed to Top Rank. Like, we saw these.
I was going to say, where does that leave Top Rank? Top Rank.
Well, here's the thing. You know, they signed this ambassador role, and then the next day It's official. Keyshawn Davis. I got the email. Keyshawn Davis is fighting Edwin De Los Santos in Norfolk, Virginia, top ranked card. Abdullah Mason, right. Co-main event. Jeremiah Nakatilla on the top ranked card. So they're still, they're under contract with Top Rank. Right. But this is essentially LeBron signing with Nike.
It's a sponsorship deal. We know that. That's
for now.
And you said it's more money in their pocket, but that's the caveat that worries me for now. What happens next? We saw this with Jared Anderson. Jared Anderson signed that ambassadorship deal, and he fought on the Riyadh card that was in California, and he got blown out by Martin Bacoli. And now him and Top Rank are at ends and have been for a while now. So it didn't work out well that time for one of the Top Rank fighters. Now we're looking at three of the top young prospects in the Top Rank stable going over there and getting this ambassadorship. So, you know, what is Top Rank doing? Are they just allowing their guys to make a little bit more money and get more exposure, like you said? Yes. Or are they offloading their best guys? I don't see that.
No, they're not. They are getting a fee when they fight on. If Bruce Carrington goes overseas and he fights Nick Ball and it's 2x, 3x more than he's ever made, Top Rank's getting a fee.
2-3 extra percentage. Yeah.
Yes. Top Rank is getting a piece of that. They don't have to put on the fight. They don't have to do, you know, stage the event. They don't have as much control. And this is the case with any promoter that's been working with Saudi Arabia. Outside, maybe Eddie and Frank have a lot more control than Top Rank does, or Golden Boy. But you don't have all the power like De La Hoya wants and all these promoters love. But you're lining your pockets just like everyone else is.
You mentioned, you know, the power that Eddie has. How many guys has Eddie gotten beat on these cards? You know, they did the 5-on-5. He lost all five.
Yeah, but he's talked to Eddie. He'll say we've made so much money for our guys.
Smash and
grab. So happens the best fight the best.
What about? Yeah, you're right, absolutely. But like, what about long term? You know, the earning potential of these fighters and their ability to, you know, get the bigger fights down the line. So I don't know. Everything's turned on its head. Listen, if guys are allowed to lose and they can still make money and get big opportunities, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
It's a really difficult thing to get across to the fans. It's something that the sport has been missing for a while. If this is a move in that direction, great. Because
I think it is.
I don't think you don't need to be undefeated. And we're seeing that more and more. And when the best fight the best, like you said, people lose. And that's okay. You're allowed to lose when you fight the best guys in the world. I wish I came up in that era. It would have been a lot easier for me. I would have made a lot more money. But you know, we're seeing more and more of these young guys willing to fight anybody and everybody because the money's there. So I don't know. In that case, I really like it. I hope that's what this all alludes to. But I don't know. This is boxing, dude. I'm always super cautious, and I'm always worried about the next thing. I've been screwed way too many times in this sport to ever feel comfortable with any deal that comes across the table.
Yeah, you're looking at it from a boxing standpoint, a boxer standpoint,
fighter standpoint, exactly.
Exactly. A little, you know, burned and everything.
I'm bitter, dude. I'm bitter. All right.
Yeah, it comes with the territory. It comes with the territory of being a fighter. I get that. I'm looking at it as more maybe from the fan standpoint. Also skeptical too when I see you know, them signing with them. What does it mean? But ultimately, I think it helps make the biggest fights. I think, you know, after this, we see Floyd Schofield's dad, who is a character. This guy is something, man.
That's an understatement. Understatement there, Dan.
He puts out a video and says, Abdullah Mason fight has been offered up to us. We want $2.5 million. He kept saying, put the money on the wood. Which I haven't heard that phrase. Put the money on the wood and it's all good.
You put it on the desk. I like that. Put it on the wood.
Put the money on the wood. It's all good. $2.5 million. But it's not the biggest. Like, Mason versus Schofield isn't like, oh, wow. Abdullah Mason signs with Ring Magazine ambassadorship. Now we're getting Floyd Schofield fight. But, you know, it happened fast. Like, we saw Schofield come out and said, we don't know how true that is. We don't know. You know, the $2.5 million is an absurd ask, considering he pulled out of the fight with Shakur. His head.
Where does that number come from? That's a big number.
It came from him. It did not come from Turkey.
I know, but like, how is that the number you get to?
Wild. Our guy Najee, who does great work, Cigar Talk. Let me pull him up. He had some sources here about what the real offer, the original offer was from Turkey to Schofield's team. My sources tell me Abdullah Mason's team offered Kid Austin the same price he was offered to fight Shakur, $1.1 million. It's crazy to ask for $2.5 million when you weren't getting that in a title fight with Shakur. I don't want to say duck because I like those guys over there. I trust Najee's sources. Crazy. But that's one thing to come out of it. If you saw this, Shakur Stevenson tweeted last night, "Can't wait for my next fight. Sorry, Turkey. Misunderstanding last time around. Didn't mean to say those things. We're all good." So Shakur could potentially get in the ring. Keyshawn Davis is fighting Edwin De Los Santos. Do you like that? I like that fight.
Yes, I love that fight. I think I like the way that Keyshawn's moving. He's going for, De Los Santos is a boogeyman. He's a really tough out. He's got some really good performances on his record. He's got a tough style to deal with. But Keyshawn's like, all right, that's the guy that everyone thinks is badass and no one people want to fight him. I'm fighting him, and I'm doing it right at home. That's for my first defense. That's a badass move from Keyshawn. I like the way he's moving.
Yeah, I don't think it's maybe the purse bid got thrown out the window. Maybe they found a number that's suitable, both sides, Turkey and Shakur. So that's what's going on with these ambassadorships, and we're seeing fights getting made, we're seeing fights getting talked about. This weekend, I'm going to rifle through these fights, Chris, and it's a very hodgepodge weekend. It's a weird fight.
Hodgepodge
weekend of fights. We're starting off with the biggest fight of the weekend is this rematch between Ben Whitaker and Liam Cameron. It's a rematch. Obviously, their first fight, Whitaker got hurt, flew out of the ring, wheelchair, Quitaker, all that and above. But there was some dispute over the rounds. I believe it's 10 rounds. I could be wrong there. Let me search real quick. But Whitaker, this is his chance. I think he's going to win. I think he's going to win big. And he's going to put this to rest. But this is a trial by fire for Ben Whitaker in this matchup.
Yeah, there's a lot of narrative around this fight, obviously, because the way the first fight ended, there's a lot of trash talk going back and forth.
10 rounds.
Highly touted guy. It is a 10-rounder. First one was 10 rounds, so what were they trying to be? Trying to make it a 12?
I don't know. There was, like, some big debate about it.
Interesting. Not an easy fight for Ben Whitaker. I agree. He's probably going to go out there and do what he was supposed to do the first time, but, you got Liam Cameron, who that was, like, his... That was his moment, man. He got a lot of attention. He's got a lot of attention since then. You know, he's coming back. I'm sure, going to come in the best shape possible and try to keep going with what he was doing, last time out. But I don't know. Ben has a lot of talent and physical gifts and, great amateur background. So he should go out there and do what he's supposed to do. But this is why we fight the fights, right? But I appreciate Ben going right back for the rematch, because that was a tough fight, first fight.
Yeah, we'll see what he's made of. I mean, this guy has a lot of eyeballs on him with showboating and, coming out of the amateur ranks as highly touted. And then he has this moment where everyone was like, see, I told you. We were one of them. Like, told you this guy was going to come back to bite him. He's taking on the rematch. I think he'll win big. And he'll prove that, I'm better than this guy. And move on with his career. What the hell is going on outside my apartment right now?
That's New York stuff right there. That sounds like New York to me.
What they do is, like, sometimes when someone's in the way, the cops will do the siren, but they'll also get on the loudspeaker and be like, move your ass. And my room here where I record is right, like, on the street. So I'll hear that. And it's
the whoop whoop's not enough. And it's got to be
not enough.
Move your ass.
It's always it's either like a UPS truck, it's an Amazon truck, or it's like a truck that shouldn't be parked. It's parked in the middle of the street. And they'll just get on there and start dialogue.
That is New York as hell. New York as hell.
You know what's not New York as hell is Russia. Sergey Kovalev. Retirement fight. Arthur Mann, 10 rounds. Didn't know he was fighting this weekend. Didn't know he was retiring.
I'm not mad about it. He's had a great career. He caught a loss in his last fight. He fought a guy who actually fought on Pro Box, and he did not look good.
The crusher.
But I mean, there was a stint there for quite a few years where Sergey Kovalev was the absolute boogeyman.
Scary man.
Brutal knockouts, punishing jab, right hand from hell. Mean.
He was must watch.
Absolutely.
2012, bro. Those NBC cards.
2012, 2013, 2014, all of them. He was just, I mean, really just tearing through people. You always knew you were going to get your money's worth. You always knew you were going to get a knockout. You know, and the guy's made a ton of money. He defended his belt, I believe, 8 times. I was looking up yesterday. Beat a lot of the other champions too, collected them the right way. He had a fantastic career. And even after his prime, had some really good, impressive wins. The later Alvarez rematch where he got the win, the Anthony Yard fight where he had to come back from really getting hurt early on, but a young guy scored the knockout too, had to go to his jab. You know, and they needed the,
for Canelo.
Really. For Canelo. He was actually outboxing Canelo.
He was beating him.
Stoppage. He was beating him with the jab. You know, very, very top to bottom, very good career. Unfortunately, he didn't really have the wins when he had the right dance partners, major guys, the Andre Ward, the Canelo Alvarez. You know, when he did get those big name guys, he lost. So
Ward.
I know. Very, 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 very controversial.
I thought Kovalev edged it.
Yeah, most people do. But, you know, Ward dropped the bed in the rematch, even though it was also controversial in terms of how that fight ended.
Just punch him in the balls over and over.
Very, very weird ending to that fight. I forgot he got the win over Bernard Hopkins. He dropped Hopkins in the first round. He dominated every second of the fight. I will look back on the Crusher's career very longingly. I thought he had a good career. He made a lot of money. I know people say what they say about him. Every interaction I've had with him, he's a really nice guy. Very funny guy too. Likes to make jokes. But
He's had a few weird tweets. Drinking problems, racist allegations, domestic violence, you know, just...
Yeah, normal fighter stuff.
Yeah,
normal boxer stuff.
Fighter starter kit for some, not all. Sergey Kovalev fights this weekend. Good career. Gabriella Fundora, undisputed women's flyweight champion. Like her a lot. She's really good. Brother of Sebastian. She is the main event of a DAZN card on April 19th. She's fighting Marilyn Badillo. That's the main event. Charles Conwell is on the co-main event. Conwell is staying busy, bro. Staying busy.
I like him.
Rising the ranks, playing the game, going to find himself in a title eliminator, find himself in a title shot at 154 real soon because he has got a nice fighting style.
Record.
And he's also got a promoter behind him and Golden Boy that can put him on these cards. That was always the problem with Conwell. But he's working his way up. He's playing the game, Chris. 12 rounds. Junior middleweights, Jorge Garcia Perez.
I had a nice conversation with Prentice Brewer, who's one of the top young trainers coming up in the game right now. And we were talking about Charles Conwell, and he was telling me, he's like, "Yo, watch this guy. He's coming up. He just needs his shot. He is that guy.
Very good. Very
good.
So
I'm happy that he's getting these opportunities. He's looked very dominant these last couple of years, the last couple of fights. He's one of those guys look on the outside looking in. He just wants his shot, and it's a super, super deep division. 27 years old. He's entering his prime. Perfect opportunity. And like you said, he's got the right promotion behind him, and they're keeping him busy. And that really matters because he's the kind of guy you're not going to hear about him until he's taken over, until he's winning title fights, until he's beating guys. You're not going to hear about Charles Conwell on Instagram. You're not going to hear about him, you know, in the media. You're going to hear about him when he's whipping ass on fight night with a world class guy.
Yeah, he's going to show up one day on a title fight, and you're going to be like, "Wait, I heard of him. He's good."
And then he wins, and then you're going to be like, "Oh wow, okay."
Alexander Vodzik, way down on this card, light heavyweight, fighting Anthony Holloway. Interesting.
The nail, right? That's his name. The nail.
Yeah, for Benavides. Over in England, Dalton Smith, WBC junior welterweight eliminator at 140. This guy's going to get a title shot real soon. Josh Warrington is on this card. Josh Padley, former electrician, full-time boxer now. Matchroom signed him. He hung up the hard hat, and now he's a boxer.
Took the Shakur fight on 23 hours notice, and now he has a career. God bless him. That's cool. Awesome. I love
Matchroom.
I love that. Good for him.
Yeah, Matchroom did right by him. He's fighting on this card. Oh, Josh Warrington's got left. I read something that he's like very afraid of retiring.
Yeah, I saw that too. I get it, man. I get it. You know, retiring's not easy. It's literally, we talked about this on the show. It's like, it's the death of a party. It's a death of a personality. It's a death of, you know, something bigger than yourself, it seems like sometimes, but at the end of the day, it's not. And life goes on.
Not everyone has a friend like me. You know, when you retire, "Hey, Chris, join my podcast.
Hey,
here's a media career. There you go.
I'm gonna listen.
You're welcome.
I thank you sometimes, and I hate you sometimes. You made a media now. Yeah, I gotta apply for media passes. This is crazy. But yeah.
Did you think when you were towards the end of your career, you're like, I do want to get into media?
No, I knew it was going to be a commentator. I love commentators. It's my favorite thing to do in the world. But in terms of being a pundit and an analyst and, you know, being in the media and being at fight, I knew that. Yeah, I knew I was never leaving this sport.
Yeah, I remember having you on the show while you were still active and being like, this guy can do it. You can definitely be you can definitely talk shop.
Yeah, well, I'm a real fan. I'm a true grassroots fan of the sport.
What do we got this weekend? It's time to say goodbye. Hodgepodge fights. Got some sports. Some good weather. Easter for those who celebrate. Oh, happy Easter!
Shoot, it is Easter.
Spiral ham. What is the Algeria's eat?
No. I got an 8-pound prime rib roast. That is
damn
thawing out, and I got it wrapped in cheesecloth to remove the moisture, so the outside's gonna be nice and crispy. I love Easter is a big one in my house, especially when I was up north. But even down here, I still like to have a bunch.
It's
of
a
people
great holiday.
And cook some great food. Absolutely. Listen, no gifts. It's one day. It's one meal. You know, like
candy.
Granted, candy.
There was gifts.
Kids.
Did you not get Easter basket as a kid?
No. I would just remember the I forgot the name of the
Cadbury egg
chocolate. Cadbury egg for sure. My brother used to inhale those. But the hollow chocolate rabbit. But
yeah,
those are my favorite. Just
those are good.
Not bite their head off. Start with the ear.
Yeah, but like I would get like you get some maybe as a kid you would get a little Easter basket. Nothing crazy. Not like Christmas, but it was like Christmas adjacent.
We did like the Easter egg hunt.
Yeah,
there'd be
fun
money in the last one.
Right, a couple
like,
dollars.
And then a couple bucks for the kids.
Mostly bucks. For me, it indicates like spring is here, summer around the corner. It's a fun holiday. Yeah, I hope everyone that celebrates all holidays. I know Passover was recent. Easter coming up. Enjoy them, everybody. We'll be back on Monday with another episode, and then we're getting closer and closer to May 2nd. We got Ben Eubank next week. There's a lot of stuff going on in boxing. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Goodbye.